You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the Psychiatry Smartcast Micro Learning Podcast Series, hosted by Med Learning Group. My name is Dr. Sylvia Hanna, Medical Director at Med Learning Group, and I will be the host of today's podcast, which is the second in a series of three podcasts. In this series, we will be discussing the management of patients with MDD and how to achieve full remission in patients with inadequate response to first-line therapies, while involving patients in their own care through the use of patient-centered, shared decision-making management strategies. In this series, we will discuss three cases: a patient with an initial episode of MDD that has rapidly caused functional impairment and suicidal ideation, a patient with recurrent MDD who responded to escitalopram with past major depressive episodes, and a patient with recurrent depressive symptoms who is not responding to previously effective SSRIs. In this episode, we will review a patient with recurrent MDD who responded to escitalopram with past major depressive episodes. This podcast will include discussion of the treatment management strategies and applicable clinical trial data. Joining me today is Dr. Anita Clayton, Wilford W. Spradlin Professor and Chair in the Department of Psychiatry and Neurobehavioral Sciences at University of Virginia School of Medicine in Charlottesville, Virginia. Welcome, Dr. Clayton. It is so good to have you with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here and to discuss this patient in particular.
Dr. Clayton, it is estimated that 30% to 50% of patients experience inadequate response to antidepressant therapy. What qualifies as an inadequate response in clinical practice?
So we think of response as a 50% or greater improvement in depressive symptoms, usually using a validated rating scale. And remission is dropping below a threshold where the person really doesn't meet criteria for depression. An inadequate response is when people experience anywhere between more than zero and up to but less than 50% improvement. A complete lack of efficacy or lack of response is when the patient would say, I feel no better whatsoever, and I maybe even feel worse. So we're looking for somebody who's been adequately treated with the right dose and the appropriate duration to expect a therapeutic response, but they've not achieved a 50% improvement in their symptoms.
And what are some of the treatment options for patients with MDD with inadequate response?
So the treatment choices really include augmenting the antidepressant with another therapy, increasing the dose of the current antidepressant, switching to a different antidepressant, presumably often with a different mechanism of action, or combining antidepressants, also using two different antidepressants that have unique or different mechanisms of action. Clinicians should tailor treatment strategies based on patients' response, their tolerability, the disease severity, and patient preferences.
Dr. Clayton, let's begin with a case of a patient with recurrent MDD who responded to escitalopram with past major depressive episodes.
This case is of a woman who's 47 years old, who presents with a recurrent episode of MDD. Her PHQ-9 is 17, clearly indicating depression. Escitalopram is restarted because it worked for her previously, but she's only marginally improved after 6 weeks. And even after you raise the dose to 30 milligrams per day, still only marginal improvement. Additionally, she complains of markedly diminished sexual desire, reduced arousal, difficulty reaching orgasm. So all three phases of her sexual response cycle have been impacted at the 30 milligram per day dose of escitalopram. Her menstrual cycles have changed in the last year with reduced bleeding and increased cycle length. Her body mass index, or BMI, is 26. PHQ-9 is 14 after 6 weeks on escitalopram, 30 milligrams per day, dropping from her initial score of 17.
Dr. Clayton, you mentioned the PHQ-9 measure. which is the Patient Healthcare Questionnaire 9. How should a healthcare provider utilize this, and how should they interpret the results? In this case, the patient had a score of 14.
So the PHQ-9 is a validated screening tool for depression completed by the patient. They need to consider the review period in which they're discussing their symptoms as the 2 weeks prior to completion of the questionnaire. There are four different responses. Zero is not at all. One is several days. Two is more than half the days. And three is nearly every day. Remember that 2 weeks is the time period for which people need to be symptomatic to make a DSM diagnosis of MDD. There are nine questions that mostly are talking about depressive symptoms. There is a 10th question, but it isn't numbered, and it's asking about how much effort does it take for you to deal with these problems. And that is helpful in understanding the level of functional impairment. Interpretation of the total score of less than 10 indicates either minimal or maybe mild depression, but it's scores of 10 or greater that mean we really need to pay attention and call this a mild depressive episode. Scores between 15 and 19 indicate moderately severe depression, and scores over 20 indicate severe depression. In this case, she started with a score of 17, indicating moderately severe depression, and she dropped to a 14, now dropping it to moderate depression.
And at this point, what should a clinician consider, or what questions might be helpful to ask this patient?
You want to be sure that they have been taking the medication and they've been taking the dose you prescribed, which should be adequate for leading to a therapeutic response. She's been taking this for 6 weeks, and so we would expect that to be an adequate period in which we would see improvement. But this improvement has really been minimal. We would want to talk to her about additional factors that might be contributing to her lack of response. Does she have other symptoms of the menopause, like hot flushes? Given the change in her menstrual cycle, she appears to be perimenopausal, which means that SSRIs may or may not be effective in that population. SNRIs have been found to be more helpful. A family history of major depressive disorder with a response to antidepressants can be helpful in considering options. So if she has a family member, particularly a first degree relative who has had depression and has been effectively treated with an antidepressant, we need to consider that in our choices. We need to consider other health issues that occurred since her last major depressive episode. So we know the perimenopause has started since then, but we need to rule out these medical conditions in order to effectively treat them to maybe make her medication be able to be effective. A higher dose of an SSRI may cause undesirable side effects. We also talk to the patient about patient preferences. Is she more interested in taking one antidepressant medication or a combination of medications, augmentation with some other kind of medication to the antidepressant, or does she want to switch her treatment and stop escitalopram entirely? And what are her preferences for side effects to avoid with a new or additional medication? Patient preferences are critical in shared decision-making, quality of life, and adherence.
Dr. Clayton, and in taking into account the patient's preferences, what did this patient share that would help in the decision-making process?
Well, she doesn't want to gain any more weight. She is concerned about her weight currently. She also doesn't want to have sexual dysfunction. This impacts on her self-image in her relationship with her partner. And she doesn't want to have somatic symptoms like nausea or vomiting or something that's going to contribute to her having difficulty sleeping. It turns out she doesn't care whether she takes one medication or a combination of two medications. And so we approach the next step with this information.
And once this information has been ascertained from the patient, what was the reasonable next step in the management plan?
Well, she really had an inadequate response to an appropriate dose and duration of 30 milligrams per day of escitalopram. So the inadequate response was measured by the decrease in the PHQ-9 score from 17 to 14, much less than a 50% improvement. She also developed sexual side effects in the setting of higher dosing, and entering perimenopause seemed to also be a consideration. Moderate weight gain was also a problem on the escitalopram. An SNRI might also contribute to sexual dysfunction side effects, but could potentially be more effective than escitalopram in a midlife woman in the perimenopause. Bupropion extended release is an appropriate augmenting agent and may improve the sexual dysfunction adverse events. So we start at 150 milligrams per day for a week and then increase to 300 milligrams per day, added to the 30 milligrams per day of escitalopram. A 300 milligram per day dose or more of bupropion is usually needed to counteract sexual side effects.
Regarding follow-up, when would you have the patient return?
So the patient needs to call or send an electronic medical record message about significant adverse effects or an increase in symptoms prior to the visit we scheduled for 4 weeks after she's been on 300 milligrams per day of the bupropion. So 5 weeks from initiation of the bupropion. At that visit, her PHQ-9 total score is 8, and the sexual side effects are reduced but still present. She had some initial agitation with the bupropion being added, but this resolved quickly. And also she experienced a reduced appetite and has been associated with a 4-pound weight loss. The patient would like to increase the bupropion dose, so she begins 450 milligrams per day.
And how does she do in follow-up?
So we have a return at 8 weeks. The PHQ-9 score then is 4, indicating minimal or absent depression. She denied side effects and has lost another 4 pounds. She started eating a healthy diet, and her BMI is now 24. At a 4-month follow-up, reduction in the dose of escitalopram is discussed, and the patient agrees. Consideration of ultimately discontinuing escitalopram will be based on maintaining efficacy on the bupropion.
That's a wonderful patient outcome. Thank you, Dr. Clayton. That was very informative, and we learned a lot today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. Please join us in the other two podcasts, where we discuss a patient with an initial episode of MDD that has rapidly caused functional impairment and suicidal ideation. And the other case where a patient with recurrent depressive symptoms who is not responding to previous effective SSRI. This episode is brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to our grant supporter, Takeda, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity.